Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Dr. Van Beek.
Folks, we're not dead. True story.
Yeah, we're coming back in force.
Yes, we're coming back in force. Here's what happened. One is we host our podcast on the Internet Archive. That's where our files are hosted. And unfortunately, they were subject to a breach. And so we haven't been able to upload any episodes there. So by the time you get this, you'll get two episodes kind of back to back. We'll just post them to our site directly and hope for the best. But the Internet Archive should be back in a couple weeks, and then we'll go back to our regularly scheduled hosting. So thanks for bearing with us. But, my friend, we're going to talk about the rest of Judges 11 tonight and some of Judges 12, maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
Yep. Paul Harvey, the rest of the story.
The rest of the story. anything you want to say about where we are in this place in Judges 11?
No, I don't think so. I think it's... This is the chapter. I guess I will say something then. This is the chapter that gave him the moniker the foolish judge. They always called Jephthah the foolish judge. And you know what? There was nothing foolish about this man. But he made a mistake, and that got him that name. And the mistake had to do with, I'll sacrifice anything that comes out of my house.
Oh. Larry has led us right into this story, which is just fantastic. I mean, it's just like one of the most, yeah. Anyway, verse 28 of Judges 11. So remember, he has gone through this thing where they've called on him to come defeat his enemies. And he's like, why are you calling me for this? You know, we've seen this story before in Judges. So that's kind of the lead into this.
And they said to him, but if you do this for us, you will be our head. You will be head over us. And he says, how do I even know? And they said, no, we will really do this. And he said, well, okay.
Yeah.
And then he did that beautiful thing to the Ammonites where he explained why they should be allowed the land.
Yeah.
And the Ammonite king just said, yeah, get lost. I'm not listening to you. But it was a good expression. Same thing that, actually the same thing that Gideon tried to do.
Yeah.
He tried to talk his way out of it first and just couldn't. Yeah.
So at 28, this is after, you know, like Larry said, after Jephthah has given this great speech to them. 28 says, the king of Ammon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent to him. Then the spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. he crossed Gilead.
I'm trying to say, you don't have the Bible up for me to...
Oh, sorry. I thought I did. I was
looking sideways at my Bible beside me, and I thought, this isn't how we do this.
Okay, hang on a second. Yeah. Let me hit this.
Sorry, Stephen.
No, that's great. Let me hit share. How about now?
There it is.
There it is. Okay, sorry about that. Folks, we got to let Larry follow along because you want his wisdom. You don't want mine. the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, which is well known for its food there. Sorry, I'm just making stuff up now. And from there, he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, if you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering.
This is the thing that makes him the foolish judge. And, you know, he's expecting, like, his mother-in-law to come out.
Where's that cat I hate so much? Oh, yeah.
He's really thinking, you know, it's a sheep or a bull or something like that's going to come and eat him. That's what he's we theorize that that's what he's expecting. We hypothesize that that's what he's expecting. Yeah.
And then you've got the other question. Why are you expecting a sheep to come out of your house, for crying out loud, man? Like, close the door. Like, how stupid are you? Like, are you born in a barn? Never mind. Okay. Verse 32. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aror, to the vicinity of Minoth.
Well, that sounds like something of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yes, as far as Abel Karim. Whatever. Okay. Thus, Israel subdued Ammon. When Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of timbrels? She was his only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down and I am devastated. I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break."
Yeah, and that's an intriguing thing, isn't it? Where he said, where she came out just so happy to see him, and he went, "Ah, yeah, why did I make this stupid vow?" Yeah. But he did. And he's going to be a man of his word. He said, "I cannot break this vow."
Yeah. Verse 36. "My father," she replied, "you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised, now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites. But grant me this one request." She said, "Give me 2 weeks to roam the hills and weep with my friends, because I will never marry."
Keep going.
I had something to say there, and I stopped myself. "You may go," he said. And he let her go for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept because she would not marry. After the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he vowed, and she was a virgin.
Okay, I might as well read that last verse.
From this comes the Israelite tradition that each year the young women of Israel go out for 4 days to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gideite.
Yeah, as a judge, he did fantastic. I mean, he cleared out the Ammonites, you know, took out, 20 of their towns, and got all the spoils, delivered Israel as he was to do. But when he came back, it was his daughter, and he said, "Okay, I told the Lord that you'd be a burnt that it would be a burnt sacrifice, and I will go through with it." Now, this is where theologians get concerned, and there's two different approaches to this. The first approach is what I heard when I was first starting out in ministry, and that was that that he didn't kill her. But she went with the others for 2 months because she was mourning her virginity, and then it said and she would never marry. So this is so important to the Israelite people, you know, that you get married and that you have children, mm-hmm. and that you carry on that way. And she wasn't going to get to do this. So the one thought is that she just stayed as a virgin for the rest of her life, and that was. That was the thing that she did for her dad. My later teacher said, no, he probably fulfilled his vow.
Yeah.
And she went into the hills, and then when she came back, he killed her.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many problems with that. You know, like, why would the Lord allow that? When Isaac was being sacrificed, the Lord brought a bull along that he could... or a ram, I guess, yep. that he could sacrifice that instead of Isaac. Why couldn't God have done that? Why would God allow this? But they say, you know, he made a vow to the Lord and he kept the vow.
Yeah.
And so you can choose which way you want to accept this. It's probably true that's what he did, was sacrificed his daughter. But it's also possible that she just remained a virgin. Mm. And if you want to have a little nicer view of this thing, then you say she just never got married, which would have been probably a better life anyway for, you know, any woman that's ever been married would say, yeah. actually left that. Yeah, that's
right. You mean I don't have to marry?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, let me go and mourn with my friends for 2 months. So it's a hideous thing. It is just a hideous thing. And we don't know which way it goes, but I don't know if scholars are divided, but people are divided on how to take this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a story, though. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know either, because God led him through the whole thing. I kind of think that I don't know which way it goes. I've been taught that that he killed her, but you know, he did everything God wanted him to do.
Right.
And would God do this kind of a thing to him? So that's the only thing that makes me want to think it's the the first one of staying a virgin rather than the last one.
Yeah.
But my teachers would say, no, he sacrificed her.
Yeah.
Of course, if it was mother-in-law, we would have got that right away. Mom, I'm sorry.
I feel horrible.
Yeah. No point in going in the hills for 2 months.
just get this. You know, this will hurt me a lot more than it'll hurt you.
Let's get this over with quick.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a good spot to leave it.
Yes.
Folks, as always, we are so honored that you continue to listen to us. We, as you can tell, we have fun doing this. It's a very short one this week, but we didn't want to actually kind of make this too long and compress. And then also, I've kind of got a little event going on tonight, so we're trying to compress our time down slightly too. As I said, this will be posted, and Lord willing, by the time I do this in a day or two from this, and we're talking at the end of October here, you should get to see it in your podcast feed very quickly. So, sorry about the delay, but that's all due to the breach that happened at the Internet Archive. Okay, thank you, my friend, for this. That was fantastic. Folks, thanks for listening. Until next time, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalypse.